Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to step into the sin bin. This is Penalty Box Radio.
Four-time best sports blog winner.
With Justin Bradford.
Three-time winner for best sports reporter and commissioner of the SECHC.
And Glenn Blackwell. It's time to talk all things hockey in the Music City. Penalty Box Radio is on Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Hello and welcome to Penalty Box Radio. Justin Bradford, along with Glenn Blackwell, producer Max behind the glass, taking care of us tonight. And seeing as how it's almost October, it's almost time for us to wrap up our season. What?
Aren't we supposed to just now get started?
Really? I heard Slapshot Radio talking in the previous show that they went a full year. They went over a full year.
Yeah. I think about that. Is it Anne of Green Gables that says, like, oh, I love living in a world that has Octobers? And I used to read that and think, oh, hockey. And now it's October's coming and we're like, bye.
Oh, draft, free agency, off season? I really wish the Stanley Cup final could have gone to at least to play one game in October.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just one. Just stretch it out a little bit from the conference final to the cup final to at least say Stanley Cup final games are played in the month of October when the season typically begins.
Yep. It was so close.
So close. But
they stretched it to preseason. So.
They did. So congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning. It much deserved. And I think it was one of those things where a lot of people, I don't want to say feel relieved, but they're like, at least it went to a team that absolutely deserved it with their performance throughout the whole season.
Exactly. And a few seasons prior, everybody kind of saw glimpses of, and everybody would get to the playoffs like last year, and you're like, what happened?
Absolutely.
And so it's kind of just that whole redemption story. You kind of, you know, if it's not your team that you're following that you cheer for, you like to see it go to somebody that really deserves it.
Right.
And the Tampa Bay Lightning definitely earned that.
They did. And the Dallas Stars... feelings of 2017 with the Preds dealing with injuries where they're just battling as best as they can and putting guys in places as best as they can to step up and just, I don't want to say fizzles out, but the magic still couldn't sustain when you have that many injuries that you're dealing with and Tampa Bay being that good and speedy. I really do think, had they have Foxa, that it could have been different.
Yeah.
I think he's one of those players that could have made a difference in terms of shutting down some of the speed from Tampa, but we can talk about ifs and buts all days.
Yeah,
right?
I think that Tampa still would have found a way. And the thing is that when you've got two teams, somebody's going to experience that loss. They have to, because only one team can win. So, I mean, you're like...
math.
I ran the numbers. And
it's advanced.
It's not looking
right there.
Good for one of the teams. It's not looking good.
Our show tonight is obviously going to focus a lot on looking ahead to the NHL draft, which is next week on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Next week, and we'll be talking with Chief Amateur Scout Tom Nolan in our next segment. He's with the Natural Predators, so looking forward to have him on the show to basically get in the mind of a scout and what they're going to be looking for, because obviously we don't know who the Predators are going to pick, and they can't really talk about, well, we would really love to have this guy. Well, there's plenty that I'm sure they'd love to have, but they're only going to get one in the first round, unless they trade, which I doubt they will. And then after that, high school hockey starts next week. So GNASH had their senior game back on Monday night, and it's grown so much. There were two senior games. There were that many seniors playing high school hockey that they had to have two senior games. And so we're going to talk to Grant Williams. He is a goaltender with Independence High School, and their season's starting up officially next week at both Ford Ice Centers and Centennial Sportsplex. And they're at the point now where they're allowing limited fans in the building, so it's mostly just going to be parents, guardians, and close family. So four members per, I believe, is what the number is. But we're going to stream some of those games as well on Penalty Box Radio, so really excited to have that opportunity to stream some of those high school hockey games because we want to continue to see the growth there. But let's get to our draft preview. Yesterday, David Poile, general manager of the Nashville Predators, and Jeff Kelty, the assistant general manager, and the director of scouting, met with the media. here in Nashville via Zoom. So it's always difficult to say met with when it's mm-hmm. over Zoom like that. But answer lots of questions and everything about leading into the draft and prospects in general. But first, some goaltending news with David Poile making the announcement yesterday. You got some squeaky mics over there, Glenn.
I do. I'm glad my mic wasn't turned on.
And goaltender Devin Cooley was signed to an entry-level deal. It's a 2-year deal and most likely will be playing, I'm assuming, in Milwaukee or Florida with Everblades. We don't know yet. Troy Grosnick, still a free agent, going to be an unrestricted free agent, currently with Milwaukee. Connor Ingram obviously will be there too, and I'm assuming he's probably going to take the starting role completely over there in Milwaukee. But here's David Poile talking about Devin Cooley and his addition to this organization.
Yeah, looking for, you know, as I said earlier in my remarks, just trying to fill up the cupboard on all positions in terms of our goaltending future. We've made a commitment to Connor Ingram, signing him to a 3-year contract, one of the best goalies in the American Hockey League, but we need to get deeper and we need to get more prospects. Cooley's to me, what stands out right away is he's 6'5". And that's a goaltender that Ben Vanderklok, Dave Rook, our goaltending gurus, would really like to, a guy to get their hands on. They see lots of potential with him. I think in the coming season, when we know more, he's either going to be playing in Milwaukee or down in Florida. Again, we don't know the schedules and that, but again, I'm really happy that we were able to execute on that and to bring in another goalie prospect in addition to Ingram to bolster our depth there. So California kid, that who saw that coming, but it's pretty neat where we're getting all of these players, but our guys, our scouts have been looking at him for a couple of years and think that this could be a real good signing for us.
So they've been looking at him for a couple of years and obviously interested in Devin Cooley. And I asked him when I asked this question about Cooley being from California, because he got his start playing tier one junior hockey with the San Jose Junior Sharks, mm-hmm. 16U and 18U programs, and even had a pretty good save percentage playing there. So just interesting to see the addition there and what they intend to do with him. But overall, for college hockey, having anything above a 9 is impressive. It really, really is. Yeah. From the average at University of Denver in those 3 seasons there, playing most of his games in the 18-19 season, 20 games, and averaging a 1.85 goals against average mm-hmm. and a 9.34 save percentage in college hockey, pretty impressive.
Yeah, and it's good to hear David Poile talk about just goaltending in general, because this is something over the years that, yeah, the conversation's there. Yeah, you've got Ingram, but the conversation isn't as heavy in goaltending because the Predators have remained so stacked. The cupboard has been full, if you will, for a very long time. So it's nice to start looking past, because, you know, as Pekarinen has aged, you're looking at another body who's 6'5", which is the same height as Pekarinen. And so that's something positive to look forward to. And it's awesome that these people have, like he said, they've been watching him for a couple of years. They really do know the development that they've seen. They know the track that he's on, the pace that he's on. And so it's a very, very positive thing to hear the goaltending cupboard start to get refilled, you know?
And often, as we see with college hockey players, he's already 23.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the typical, 18 and then played four years, he played junior. Because he played in the USHL, he played in the NAHL, he also played in the BCHL, and then went to college. So mm-hmm. a little bit older as well, which I think bodes well in terms of just mental development, too, of being a professional yep. hockey player. So then going on to the draft and where they're going to fulfill more prospects next week, the Nashville Predators have a plethora of draft picks, and especially important, like David Poile said, we're restocking this cupboard. And we've been saying that phrase for a few years now because they've traded away plenty of draft picks. They've traded away prospects that were taken in the higher rounds at times. Sam Girard, miss you. But they have the 11th overall, then the second round, because New Jersey was awful. They have the 37th overall, and then the 42nd overall, which is their actual pick. So 3 picks in the top 42 in a draft that's fairly deep, meaning you should knock it out of the park and at least one of those.
You got to come away with something big.
Out of those 3, you should have one that is at least a good top 6 player.
Mm-hmm.
Should.
Yep.
And so I asked David Poile just about, but does he salivate at the opportunity of having that many
so
draft picks?
Good.
I had to use that word because when you have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds like that, and they're early picks, especially in the second, that can mean a lot. So here's David Poile on the number of draft picks coming up for the Preds.
Salivate is a good word. I'm really excited about it. I've really enjoyed the previous years here in Nashville and our run to the finals and the President's Trophy, winning our division, winning some rounds in the playoffs. But we have to face reality that the trends have not been good in the last 2 years. I don't think that we're that far off, but one of the best areas to improve is through the draft, through promoting players that are your younger players. Again, we know them a lot better than players that you trade for. And I think if you get around them and put them in your development program in Milwaukee, what have you, refer again to like the Predator way or how we do things, I think we've probably found that we've had a little bit more success doing it that way than maybe sometimes by the trade route. So I am really excited. I was excited about the draft last year with Tomasino at the top, and I'm really excited about knowing approximately who we're going to get on our first pick this year, and then really believing that our scouts can do a good job and pick a few gems here in the second and third round. And if we can do that, I think we can get this team, this franchise, going in the right direction again with not only the quality veterans that we have in our team, but some young players, you know, pressing to play, you know, real soon. So you could go from a, you know, somewhat of an older team right now to a younger team in a very short period of time.
And he has an idea of who they might be picking, and you will have an idea. Probably, I'm thinking there's probably a good five players or so that could fall, or that are still left there, or that jump up, that become available. Who knows? But I'm assuming they have a good idea and have nameplates ready. I don't know if they're going to do it like what they did with the Oscars and send boxes and have an arm punch out. It's like, you win!
Surprise!
That would freak some people out. But it is interesting to see at 11, because it's just outside that range where you know you're going to get, I think, an elite player. As we've talked to multiple draft experts on the show, but still going to get a very solid top six player, you should, or a top pairing potential in terms of defenseman, top four at least defenseman, if Sanderson is, say, still available, don't know there. So another big news in terms of prospects has been Eli Tolvanen and Yakov Trenin being loaned into the KHL. And for them being loaned over there, it's a big deal because it gets them continuing to play and more playing time. It's been a long time since they've had game action, so it's really good for them. So ask Jeff Kelty, who is assistant general manager and the director of scouting, in terms of what this does to help them prepare coming to training camp, because those are two guys that I think, especially Tolvanen, expected them to make a difference right now, that he needs to be able to perform, and getting him game action with Jokerit over in the KHL, and then also getting Trenin game action with SKA St. Petersburg over in the KHL, and getting them prepared for the season to come right in, reels ready to go in training camp. So here's Jeff Kelty on Tolvanen and Trenin on their loan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, any young player, you want them to be playing, you want them to keep going here. And I think that it's a great situation for both guys. You know, Tolvanen, you know, right away we knew that you know, they were interested in having him come back. Yet, you know, as you all know, he had a lot of success there before he, in his year after we drafted him, before he came over. So that's a good situation for him. Their team got shut down for a brief period of time here due to the pandemic over there, but they're back up going again. And, you know, again, with all the uncertainty of not knowing when we're going to get going here, I think that these are really good situations for both players, because they're, you know, I guess if you want to look at it, their normal schedule has, you know, it's I guess as normal as possible. You know, they're back going in September and the fall here and getting into their season, and so hopefully that when they when we do get going here, when our camp does start, they'll hit the ground running and have a leg up. I mean, and again, the timing is perfect because we want and need these guys to come in and be contributors for us and to help push our team along here. So I think it's a great situation for both guys.
And it explains a lot, too. We saw some of those pictures of Trenin over there in Russia, because they want to get the deal done, make sure he's under contract, and, okay, go on your loan, get ready for the season. And that's just going to help them be more prepared coming into this next season, especially coming to training camp. Basically, they're already zooming in and ready to play games and coming to training camp ready to compete and battle for roster spots, which is going to be – there's going to be battles this upcoming season, which is exciting and good for this team. It's good for this team to have some battles.
It is, and it's hard to be rusty when you stayed active, and so you can't underestimate the power of ice time, and we've always talked about that with people going down to Milwaukee and playing. Just staying on your feet, staying fresh, it's only going to benefit.
Absolutely. Okay, up next, let's dive deeper into the NHL draft. We have National Predators Chief Amateur Scout Tom Nolan joining us next on Penalty Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back to Penalty Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Max, taking care of us behind the glass. Just had to let it play a little bit. You know, that's how we roll here, right? That's how we roll.
I know what I'm listening to when I'm on my way home. Bringing back some old school Adele.
Well, excited to have our next guest on as we get into the mind of a scout, and especially looking ahead to the NHL draft next week. We have the Nashville Predators chief amateur scout, Tom Nolan, joining us right now. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. We know there were some technical difficulties yesterday, and I was like, hey, we've got to get him on because Tom always has some good stuff to say, look, going into the draft. So really appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight. And I asked David Poehl yesterday about salivating over the number of picks in the first 42. For you as the scout, knowing the number of picks the Predators have just in the first three rounds with five overall, how excited does that make you and your team of scouts to know that, hey, there's probably going to be some guys available that we know we've looked at, we're excited about, and can really add to this organization?
Yeah, we're really excited about the amount of picks that we have. We haven't had this in the last couple of years. And, you know, like David said, we have five picks in the first 72 picks. So we can really make some hay here with our picks. Really kind of like we always talk about is stacking the cupboard. I think we got to start doing that with our organization. And, I think we have a great opportunity to do that this year, and there's some really – we like a lot of guys in the top four rounds.
No, absolutely. It's a good-looking draft overall, and especially at 11, knowing no matter what, you're going to get a good player for this team. Going to get a good player. But look at this, and every team's been in this boat with the pandemic, with the pause especially for junior and college, things like that. What's the process been like for you and your team in terms of evaluating players, knowing that you obviously got a good chunk of their seasons into March, but missed out on the opportunity of seeing some of these guys in playoffs, seeing some of them in the Memorial Cup or seeing them in the college hockey playoffs, just those little extra looks. So what's the evaluation process been like for you guys?
Well, to be honest with you, like the second part of the season is like my last time I've been on a plane was March 13th. And that's unheard of for myself and our staff. And it's been a different. I mean, every team's got to go through it, so we're all going through it. But I think we've done a really good job of when we found out that we were going to kind of halt the season, we kind of took 2 weeks off and kind of figured out where we were going from there. And then we adjusted, we put a plan in place, and we basically kind of. And I have to give Nick Lebrano, our video coordinator, a lot of kudos. He went back and basically went through our top 20 for each guy in our territory and did video from like February on to March 13th. That was the last game basically that anyone played, junior, college, anything. And that we kind of simulated the season. And we went back and did a lot of video work. And then we just kind of did that for a couple weeks and then just got into our regular end of season meetings. And that's kind of how we, you know, got our list together.
And keeping with that, so when you're looking at the depth of players, how do you all handle differences in your feelings on players? Maybe when your thought processes don't line up on who you're looking at and why you're looking at them and you're under a time constraint, how do you all work through those instances?
Our staff's been together for a long time, and I think we all know what we're looking for, especially this year. We you know, a couple years ago, obviously we went to the Stanley Cup final. We've traded some stuff away, and now we know we need to, like I said before, we have to stock the cupboard again. And we know what we need. We need skill. We need character. Our scouts know what we need. And I think we're all on the same page of what we need. And when we are talking about players, it's not that we disagree. It's more of like we're trying to pinpoint exactly what we need as a team and as an organization.
And what a lot of people don't fully grasp, I think, is the talent that it takes when you're scouting prospects. I mean, anybody can go on social media and say, oh, you need to pick so-and-so, right? But it's teachable to some degree, but it's also not easy to teach because what I've seen is there's almost an intuitive aspect to scouting. You can learn to have an eye for it, but some people just simply have a really, really good eye for it. So what are some key components just of this career path overall that people can learn more about this job?
You've got to learn from your mistakes. I think that's one of your biggest, you know, it's okay to look back at drafts and talk to your staff and say, how did we miss on this guy? Why didn't we have this guy further along? And it's very hard because a lot of these guys that we're looking at are 17 years old. I mean, they're going to be 18 by, obviously, the season the following year, you know, the September 15th. But these kids are 17, and you just can't – it's hard to really tell where they're going to go physically. So you're just trying to get all the information, like character, how much room he has to move to grow physically. And again, like I said, it's learning from past mistakes, and it's one of those things you just gotta you gotta be in the business for a long time to learn it, you know.
And you've been doing this for a while, since 2008 with the Predators as an amateur scout. So been there for a while. And again, joining us right now is the National Predators chief amateur scout, Tom Nolan, talking to us ahead of the NHL draft. And Tom, looking at this too, you mentioned character, mentioned a lot of these things. We know a lot of players go through the interview process with these teams, and without, you know, giving away the farm and what you're asking players, what are some of those things in terms of qualities and how you're able to evaluate how players have some of these qualities? Like you said, they're young, and it's hard to judge a lot of these things too. So in terms of these interviews and what you're seeing from players, how are you evaluating them, that they do have good character, they do have leadership qualities, that they're a good person, that would be a good fit for an organization?
Well, you really got to lean on your area guys. That's number one. Those are the guys that are doing the interviews, like during the season with coaches, trainers. And one of the assets we've had this year is we've had more time to actually even do more interviews, where we've talked to trainers, like even further. And just in this summer, we've gotten info on guys that, you know, normally they would have got drafted in June. Now all of a sudden you're talking to the trainer in August and September, and they're like, wow, he's gained, you know, 10 to 15 pounds or 5 to 10 pounds, and his explosive numbers have gone through the roof. So it's kind of helped us a little bit. Again, it comes down to, when you're really looking at these guys, it comes down to skill, skating, you know, character. But then it's your area guys that are really digging deep into, you know, like what type of person he is, and like what type of, like, where is he going? Where is he going from 17 to 21?
And that's a big, big moment right there, too. A lot of growth mentally and physically happens in those few years right there. And looking at the Predators, and I'm sure other teams have done this, but the Predators have found some gems. Obviously, Pekka being a gem with where he was drafted. Yeah. Victor Arvidsson, who was passed over before and then able to find. How proud does it make a scout when a player like that was either passed over or is found in a late round? What's the pride like for a scout when a guy like that is successful, like a Rene, like an Arvidsson, and say, we found this guy. We're able to find him in a round that doesn't exist anymore. We found him when he was already passed over.
It's huge. And I have to give credit to all our European guys. They've done an unbelievable job kind of finding those gems, you know, and we just keep, we're trying to rely on those guys even more and more. Going forward, we need more of those. We're in that situation right now. We just got to keep filling that cupboard. It's a huge, when you get a guy in the seventh round that can, you know, be the best goalie in the league, I mean, that's unbelievable. You know, that's and then Roman Josi we get in the second round, and, you know, and now he's a Norris Trophy winner. I mean, that's, you know, those are things that we're trying to learn from and keep doing that. We want to get more of these guys. We want to get a Norris Trophy guy in the third round, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And last, before I have to let you go, this is obviously a very different draft. I wish we could have been in Montreal, because I was really looking forward to that trip, since I've never been there before. I'm looking forward to smoked meats and bagels. But it's going to be digital. So I know there's going to be challenges, but there's also going to be times where it's probably going to be a little bit different in a good way. Like you said, you've had extra time to evaluate. So what are you looking forward to next week in terms of this experience and what it's going to be like and what you're going to be able to learn from it?
First of all, I'm just looking forward to, like, getting on a plane again and traveling. Like it's been so long. Jeff and I are going down. We're both in the Northeast, so we're going to be on the same flight down. It'll be nice to just see the guys. I haven't seen anyone in Nashville since March. So it'll be nice that way. And again, it's learning. Like we're going to learn some things that we've never been involved in. And so it'll be interesting. I do think, like, all the video and all this stuff has been great. I do think that we got to get back into seeing people live. But I do think we will learn a lot from this process, and we can implement a lot of the stuff that we've done into our system going forward.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a big draft guy. Love following prospects. So, Tom, really appreciate your insight and helping us get into the mind of a scout. So thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, folks. Tom Nolan, the Nashville Predators' chief amateur scout. Great information there just about in the mind of scouting, because, I mean, I went through a little bit of training mm-hmm. with ISS hockey, got a little bit there. And it is, like you said, it's difficult. It's a hard job.
It is a lot more than just looking at somebody and saying, wow, that's a great skater. Let's get him.
And the most difficult thing is to take your eye off the puck.
Exactly.
We're so trained to follow the puck, to follow the football, to follow the baseball, mm-hmm. to follow the ball, the sports puck that is involved in the play. And when you're evaluating a player, you got to see positioning, what they're doing when they're away from the puck, how they're positioning like that with their hockey IQ and all that stuff. So major kudos to anyone that's a scout or been in the business, because it is not an easy job to do.
And it's fascinating hearing coming from somebody like that, because you think about when you're talking about Pecorine, like at some point there were people that watched him that were like, that's where the intuitive part, I think, comes in, because you just sometimes you just have an eye for it, and you can look at him and see, even if I don't see it in this moment, I can see it 3 years from now. And that's a talent. That's hard to do.
Rene wasn't even playing much. Yeah. He was the backup.
Exactly.
When they were scouting
him. So there's a lot of people looking at him just kind of like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's a goalie. Okay, great. So speaking of goalies, we have one coming up next on Penalty Box Radio. Grant Williams, he's with Independence High School, plays with the Independence Spring Hill team in the Greater Nashville Area Scholastic Hockey League, also known as GNASH. Need to shorten that up big time. We're going to get his viewpoint on the upcoming high school hockey season and just learn more about Grant Williams. Up next, Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Max,
and J-Lo,
and some J-Lo. And he said because he had to listen to A-Rod announcing a game today,
that's why he played her.
I saw a lot of people on Twitter complaining about A-Rod in his commentary. A lot of big thumbs down from Max.
I missed all this, but I'm gonna take it from Max.
Yeah,
thumbs down.
So we get some J-Lo, who had a fantastic concert. Saw her in Atlanta 2 years ago. It was great.
So was Adele. Great.
Oh yeah. Anyways, let's talk some high school hockey. We have goaltender Grant Williams from Independence High School joining us, and he is taking a break from his job. What an awesome boss he must have to be able to take a quick break to hop on the radio with us. So, Grant, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just dive right into this. You got an opportunity to play in the senior game, which is a big deal to seniors that play GNASH here in the Middle Tennessee area. What did that mean to you to be able to participate and, one, know that you were able to participate with everything we've been going through, and, two, what was the experience like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's great because you can really see from, like, your freshman year up to how much you've grown and how much you've seen the way high school hockey works as opposed to, you know, other kinds. And you just, I don't know, it's just cool to see you grow and get to the senior game and just have fun. And with COVID, it's hard, but it's different. But we're doing everything we can because we just want to get on the ice and play. So we're going to follow all the rules, you know, masks up and all that. So we're going to do anything to play and just for the fun of it.
And you looked like you were having fun out there. I saw your teammates were egging you on to do some stretch passes to try to get on the board there with at least an assist. That kind of shows the fun right there, too. But seeing teammates as well that play for other schools and other teams, is that part of the camaraderie in GNASH? Yeah, you guys are rivals on the ice, but I'm sure a lot of you played with each other growing up, too, right?
Yeah, and we played against the Summit players. Like, Indy was with Summit last year. So it was Indy Summit. It was fun to play against, you know, our old teammates that we used to play with.
And so what are you looking forward to in this upcoming season? And no matter what, it's your senior year, so that's got to be exciting too. So just what are you looking forward to experiencing in your last year at GNASH?
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to pursue what we did last year. We're going to carry on from that. We had a good season last year. One of our best ones, one could argue. We just had really good passion and good leadership on that team, and we're just hoping to do the same thing this year.
Grant, I know you had an injury a couple years back that you've since overcome, and that can obviously wear on people, not just physically, but mentally. But you got through it, and you not only came back, you came back to the game strong. So what was that like for you getting back on the ice, mentally and physically, getting back to the game that you love?
Yeah, it was really my first game back, it was really nerve-wracking. You know, the first shot I got on me, I let in. It was a really easy save, and I was like, wow, are you serious? Like, this stuff is going to go first game back? But then, I mean, I just played my heart off after that because I was like, you know what, this is like what I love. This is what I love to do. I'm going to do everything I can to get back to it, and that's what I was kind of going through my head, you know, during rehab, all that. Like, I was just going to do everything I could. I mean, I went to not being able to bend my knee at all to all the way back, and I was just ready to play again, and there I was. I don't know. It was just a great feeling to get back on the ice.
I mean, that's a good mentality to have, too, right there, and that's how you help bounce yourself back with that going forward. And so, being a goaltender, you got to ask, who got you into the game? Who got you to love being a goaltender and wanting to be a goaltender?
Yeah, well, I started, like, when I was 6 years old, but I was, like, a skater. Then I didn't really think anything of being a goalie. And I don't even know what it was. I was just like, you know, that position looks fun to me. Like, I want to try it. So I did, and my first game I did awful. I let in, like, 9 goals. And the second game I let in, like, 7 goals. And then I started doing some trainings with Brad Guzda, who I still see now, and he's great. And yeah, he got me after I did a couple sessions with him after those brutal games, I got shutouts when I was like 9 or 10 from him. And I don't know, since then it's just been really fun to me.
I mean, that's a pretty good progression to go from letting in 9 to getting shutouts. So
yeah,
did you kind of model your game after any pro out there, just kind of taking the teaching that you were getting and going from there?
I mean, yeah, just growing up, always just watching Pecorino because I'm a big Predators fan. That's just who I grew up watching. So I, you know, kind of learned a lot of his styles and developed a lot of his kind of movements and all that because, I mean, that's just who I grew up watching. He's really fun to watch and athletic.
Excellent. And so, again, folks, Grant Williams, he is the goaltender for Independence High School, a senior going into the season. G. Nash High School Hockey here in Middle Tennessee starts up next week. So it just feels like it came on so quickly, but it's already October coming up tomorrow. And so I got to ask this. This is going to dive into the goaltender aspect of this, too. There's always these discussions about VH and RVH in terms of goaltender positioning. I know I'm getting into the weeds here and everything, but what is your opinion on in terms of goaltenders and utilizing the RVH versus the VH?
Well, I think the VH, the regular VH, I think that was kind of more of a, I don't know, it was like an early 2000s thing that I noticed, and it's kind of died down that I've seen. And a lot of goalies, I have also switched to the RVH because it looks a lot cleaner. It's just, you can tell it's taking up more space of the net from the post from either side. And you can even do, like, an RVH with a paddle down from, like, the really close into the post. And then, I don't know, that's just, yeah.
How do you feel that affects you in terms of going east to west? Like, for instance, if there's a rebound that occurs or you have those cross-ice passes, how do you feel that affects you when it comes to those in terms of movement?
Yeah, so it's like when you have your foot on the post, you just get all the power you can get from the post, push off from there, and then try to get to wherever the puck goes as best you can. And sometimes you can overshoot it, or sometimes you can undershoot where you're getting through it. And just, sometimes it goes in, sometimes you can stop it.
Well, I'll be watching this year. I had to go goalie nerd just a little bit right there to get your opinion on it, because I know goaltenders always have opinions on those matters and everything. So let's get to know Grant a little bit more here, too. We got to know, what's your favorite hockey movie?
Ooh. I've always liked Miracle. That's an original. That's a really good one that I've always loved.
That is a great movie. That's mine.
I get all the feels just talking about Miracles.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah. So for a goaltender, and I'm sure most hockey players have rituals and everything, but goaltenders tend to have the rituals. What's your game day ritual, and especially your pregame ritual? What are you usually caught doing and you make sure you have to do before every game?
So it's like before I get on the ice, I'm not even getting dressed yet. It's like, players are still kind of in the locker room talking, and I'll go out with my, like, a tennis ball, and I have a glove, and I have both my earbuds in. That's a big priority to me, to have my music playing and just get in the zone and focus. And while I'm, you know, throwing a tennis ball and catching it in my glove, seeing how fast I can get it, getting closer to the wall, and just, I don't know, doing my eye movements. And then I go in the locker room and then play music, and then I just bond with the team before games.
Bonding's definitely a big part.
Oh yeah,
very big. Sure. So, got to ask then too: can you juggle?
No.
Oh.
I've always wanted to learn how to try because I've but I've just never been able to. I've tried. But yeah, it's hard.
That's the next thing. Pecorine was showing that off this off or the pause that he learned how to juggle. So that's your assignment then is before you graduate, you got to learn how to juggle. Okay.
Sounds good.
You talk about earbuds being in. What's some of the music you're listening to, man? As a goaltender, you listen to relaxing things like pump up music, rock, rap. What's usually playing in your earbuds?
Yeah, I listen to mainly rap. I have a pregame playlist because I got put in charge of the box during the pregame. So I got some, you know, Juice WRLD, ASAP Ferg, Trippie Redd. I got some, I don't know, just some rap, and it's good. It pumps me up. I don't know what it is.
Well, I'll be listening for the walls to be shaking during pregame.
Oh, yeah. You'll hear it. You'll hear it for sure.
Well, Grant, we do appreciate you taking the time to join us. Best wishes for you this season, and enjoy your senior year. So glad you got to participate in that senior game and know how much it meant to you all to be there and for your families to be there watching you. So just thanks for joining us, and can't wait to see you in action this year, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Absolutely, folks. Grant Williams, goaltender for Independence Spring Hill. He goes to Independence High School, taking a break off of his job.
And that was nice of him to do, and also he's fun to talk to.
Yeah, major props to Grant's boss.
Yes,
for letting him take 10 minutes to talk to us tonight about hockey.
Thanks for sharing him with us the evening.
Thanks for sharing. So yeah, Gene Ash is coming up next week. We're going to be streaming, hopefully 2 games a week is our goal. On Penalty Box Radio on Facebook, so you can watch some Gene Ash high school hockey. SCCHC college hockey won't start until January, hopefully. So we got a little bit of time before that. But up next, we have some questions to answer, including pie or cake. So be thinking about that, Glenn. Mm-hmm. Pie or cake. Up next, Penalty Box Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back to Penalty Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Glenn Blackwell, producer Max behind the glass.
Hi, Max.
Max, we appreciate
it. He always waves whenever we say Max behind the glass. He just looks so happy back there.
So happy.
In his little cupboard. Let me just say the cupboard. I love when people say restock the cupboard. Do you ever get that when people are talking about that in the sports world? And we've said that a lot on the show tonight.
Plenty.
You just hear it and you're like, oh, it feels so organized. Like, I just imagine an organized cupboard. And like, oh, I can't wait. You not do that?
I mean, no. Max, is your cupboard organized?
Mine is, my Tupperware.
Like in my kitchen?
Yeah,
kitchen cupboard.
Sure. It's presentable.
Oh, Glenn, you're unique.
I just love it.
Yeah. So first question is coming in from Gump and Chase. Pie or cake? Glenn, you go first.
There's not an or in between. It's just pie.
Pie cake?
And cake. No.
Oh, pie and
cake. Okay, honestly, this is going to depend on the mood
I'm in.
Because there are times where the only thing I want is just a perfect little cupcake, which is a cake.
Okay.
But then there's times during the holidays that I crave more pies. It's a time, it's a mood thing and a time thing, just my feels. So, but if I had to just randomly be like, oh my gosh, I have to pick one cake.
Okay.
What about you, Justin?
Oh, well, hold on. I'm interviewing you on this one. Oh,
okay.
What kind of pie, though, would it be, especially around holiday times?
Okay, so I love pecan pie, and that goes back to my childhood.
Oh, well.
It's
the South.
That's my default. If I'm craving something holiday-ish, it's going to be pecan pie.
Okay.
Cake, I want carrot cake. I want red velvet cake. I want white cake with chocolate icing, chocolate cake with white icing. I want them all.
No, I want cake.
I do too. That's why when I say cake, when I have to pick one, it's going to be cake because there's so many.
Yeah.
That on any given day, I'm like, that sounds so good.
Cake for me, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I obviously will enjoy some pie.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I would like the good peanut butter chocolate pie,
mm-hmm.
French silk pie, pecan pie, chess pie. Love those pies.
Yeah.
But if it is where I have to choose and you only get one, I'm taking cake.
Yeah. So what's your cake pick? What's your top cake pick?
Top cake pick would probably be, French vanilla cake with a cream cheese frosting.
Oh, that sounds nice.
or chocolate navy cake, which is even, like, it's so rich.
What is a chocolate navy? I've never heard of this.
The way your face just lit up when I said chocolate navy cake.
I've been watching the Great British Baking Show, so I feel like I should be a professional now, and I don't know
it's
this.
It's chocolate upon chocolate upon chocolate. So it's 2 layers of cake, chocolate ganache.
Oh, that's
and chocolate
good.
Frosting.
Okay.
Obviously all homemade.
I would go for that.
Yeah, I would definitely go. But I'd love a pétillon as well. Good pétillon.
Oh, yeah. That scared me. So I do like.
I watch Food Network too. Okay?
I know. I guess you have a game, but we can't go get cake after. But I was going to say, yeah, let's go get cake.
Yeah, I have my first rec league hockey game since March 11th tonight.
And he didn't dress in his gear.
I didn't. I'm going to go home and dress to be a real home dresser. I'm not a studio dresser.
Except for that one time.
Okay.
Just had to do it.
Next question. There's another food one. This is from Dave Rue. Favorite barbecue spot in Nashville and favorite barbecue spot in the world?
That's a good one because, oh, barbecue. So locally, I'm a little tied. Peg Leg Porker and Edley's have been two of my consistent, hard to go wrong favorite barbecue local. In the world, though, every time I go visit my family in Austin, there's a place called the Salt Lick.
Oh, I've heard of that.
And boy, when I tell you. And they have got a winery next door. They have an outdoor deck under a live oak tree with live music. And it's because it's a wait. It's going to be a wait to get in there. But it is well worth the wait. And so overall, that would be my top pick. Hands down, that's my favorite barbecue I've ever tried.
All right. So. Here in Nashville, for me, it'd be a Martin's or Honey Fire. Honey Fire being local to Bellevue. Mm-hmm. And Martin's has obviously a few spots here. And it depends on the type of meat you want at these places.
Yeah.
Like, I prefer like a good smoked wing.
Uh-huh.
Is what I really do love. I'm not judging on brisket here in Tennessee. I'm judging on the smoked wings. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the sausage. Mm-hmm. Pulled pork, for me, is not as special. I want the wing and the sausage is pretty much the two meats that I'm going for at these places. Honey Fire is great because it's a little sweet with a seasoned salt that goes on there. And then Martin's with their dry rub, their Memphis dry rub with the Alabama white sauce. I'm all about Alabama white sauce.
That
chicken.
Is good.
Delicious. In the world, going to go to Dallas, so Texas as well. And I love going to Lockhart. Went there for the Winter Classic, went there before on vacation when the draft was there, and you order the meats, and they just wrap it up in a paper for you, and when you get to the table, you just undo the paper, that's your plate.
Oh, that's the best, because there's no cleanup. Just toss it in the trash.
And you order it based on pound. So you're like, yeah, I'll take a quarter pound of this, and they just chop it up right there, weigh it, and wrap it up in the paper. There you go.
That's called efficiency.
It's very, very efficient. All different kinds of meats, or Pecan Lodge there in Dallas. Love
and
those as well.
Outside of Austin, before Austin, back when I was in college, Dreamland Barbecue in Tuscaloosa. We would drive an hour. It was like an hour and a half from Starkville, where I went to school. And we would drive to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, just for the Dreamland Barbecue. So
my teammate, Chris Rivas, just tweeted, you're required to bring cake to tonight's game. I don't have time to get cake.
Should go get cake with me after and make time. You should have dressed up in the studio like you always do in your
always.
Outfit.
Always. One time. In your hockey outfit.
And then we could have had time for cake.
One time. Okay. Just saying. Ooh, a hockey question.
What?
Brandon Stever is asking, who would be a third line defenseman that the Preds can bring in to solidify the third pairing? Talked about this with Ryan Porth on Monday night on Preds Insiders. I know he's probably going to have his price go up, but just when the Stanley Cup, the Tampa Bay Lightning probably aren't going to be able to afford to re-sign a bunch of guys, but Kevin Shattenkirk would be one. And I actually think he'd play in the second pairing, and you can move Dante Fabbro down to the third pairing and let him get a little more protection and more seasoning in the third pairing.
Which is very solid down there.
Doubt that would happen, but Shattenkirk would be the number one. I'm sure he's not the number one priority. I'm sure he is the number one priority for multiple teams out there, but him, Zach Bogosian, I think would be okay in the third pairing as well. A physical guy, and I'm doubtful that he'd be back in Tampa too. So those are two guys, very two different guys, but Kevin Shattenkirk kind of had a resurgence this season after he got bought out by the Rangers. So those would be my two that I'd be looking at.
That's a good choice. Without even looking to see who's available, I'm not going to try to sit here and say, I think so-and-so, and they're like, well, nope, he's not even available. But yeah, I mean, the good thing is that, like you said, if you do bring in somebody like that, you're still going to have a solid third.
Right.
If you're moving them up to the second, you're still going to have a solid third. So it's going to be solid all around. But
because I want youth
Shattenkirk,
to be,
I can see.
I want youth to be in the third pairing somewhere. I want a Carrier and a Lard.
Yep.
I think Davey still needs a little bit more time, but he's probably going to get a really good deep look at training camp. I want one of the prospects on the third pair.
Yeah, and that's where the growth happens. That's where the growth happens.
Right. They darn well better be prospects.
You heard it here. If there's not, we got angry Justin. He's growling right now. So either get him cake or put that prospect on the third line. I don't know.
Seriously, it is time to let these guys go into the big leagues. Carrier has been biding his time. And it's one of those things, too, if you got to give him a shot here, because if you can't make it now, then it's time to just cut your losses.
Yeah.
Seriously, because you can't keep having him play in the AHL and be okay with that, unless he's okay with that. Mm-hmm. You know he probably wants more, so it's time to give him looks playing against the big boys in the NHL to see if he can continue.
Yeah, because that's what players want to do. They want to continue playing with the big boys, and if not, they want to be somewhere where they can.
Because there's going to be more draft picks, finally, in the next few seasons as they continue to have more draft picks. They're going to be taking places and taking spots in Milwaukee as they finish in junior, as they graduate from college and finish college to go play in the A. They're going to have to, spots are going to have to open up. So I want to see prospects there. Next question comes from Ryan. Who are some key players the Preds should look at signing or trading during free agency or the draft? I don't think there's key players in terms of signing, because I want youth to be a part of this. And especially with a flat cap, I don't see the Predators wanting to spend towards the cap because they don't have much flexibility. David Poehl spoke yesterday about not having much flexibility. That's why, obviously, bye-bye Mikael Granlund. Craig Smith, pretty much gone unless he's going to take a discount. I can't even see, and his term probably is a big thing too, probably wants 3 or 4 years. Predators could probably give 2 based on other contracts that are going to be coming in. But it's not going to happen. There's no flexibility for this team, so I don't see key players they should sign. I think in terms of defense, Shattenkirk, if the price is right, but he could be demanding a lot more now just because of his performance with Tampa. Trading, that's the kicker.
Yeah.
Finding a way to relieve yourself of Kyle Turris's contract, unfortunately, just hasn't worked out, and I hate it for him because it just, he seemed to have a little bit of a resurgence and playing better under John Hines, but I think they have to kind of wipe their hands and wash their hands free of that contract now to free up the space, whether it's through buyout or trade, even if you have to pay someone to take him. You feel like you get a little bit of return if you get a future considerations back.
And you've got a little bit more wiggle room when you do that.
Or if you buy him out, you're going to be paying for 8 years on that too, but then you still have wiggle room in the cap that you're going to need, especially when you don't have the gate to help supplement lost revenue coming in. I think it's going to be difficult to be right up to the cap just because you have to be mindful of that so you don't hurt yourself in the future to be able to pay contracts that you can't be spending towards the cap unless you are for sure you have that revenue coming in from the gate. And we know there's not going to be sellout games happening anytime soon. They're probably fans, maybe, in some form or fashion, but not sellouts. Not like what we're used to seeing, 17,113. Been a while since I've said that.
Oh, no.
But it's going to be a while. So, trades, getting rid of Kyle Turris, if there's a right suitor for Nick Bonino, his trade value is the highest it could possibly be right now. I'm not pushing to say you need to trade him. I'm saying if you're going to trade a forward, he has value. He had a tremendous season. He's been solid overall now. And there are teams out there that could absolutely utilize a guy like Nick Bonino. So it's nothing against him. It's more about the value he brings. That's a good
That's
thing.
That's a compliment.
That's a compliment that he actually has trade value, that he could bring in something the Predators could use, whether it's a draft pick or it is a prospect that could be a decent prospect, a good middle six prospect potentially. So those are my targets right there.
Yeah. And I'm just going back to what David Poile said. You know, he said, oftentimes when you look at the history of the Predators, them looking within their own organization where these people have come up has often been more successful for the Predators than trade situations. Not saying that trade situations have not been, but just listening to him say that gets me kind of in that mindset of just bringing up that developed youth that they've worked so hard for.
Absolutely. Get the youth going. I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see what Tolvanen can do, what Trenin can do, what Tomasino potentially can do. Carrier, Allard, Davies, Pitlick. There's so many to choose from that deserve opportunities, I think, now, and we'll see what happens there. Well, we have one more show left in the season, and it's basically going to be our draft recap, because we'll be on after the draft finishes up next week on Wednesday. Whew, our last show of the season happening in October. It's so, so weird. But we'll be back when the NHL season comes back. So if you miss anything tonight, make sure to go to PenaltyBoxRadio.com. For producer Max and Glenn, this is Justin Bradford. Thank you so much for tuning in to Penalty Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.